Good morning, everybody, and welcome to a beautiful sunshiny day after some rain and storms came through to clear the air. It's been a great week with our focus on God and our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think today that's probably the only place you can really put your faith and confidence. So, well, last week in our church service, there was a gentleman mentioned to me when we were talking about what we want to do in 2021. And he said, I want to start listening to God more. I want to hear what he has to say for me. So let me ask you, are you listening to God? Before you answer that, I'd like to show you some things from the scripture. So go with me over to John chapter 5, and let's take another long, hard look at the life of Jesus. Jesus goes up to Jerusalem, the Jewish religious capital, and there was a Jewish festival on, and it was in full swing. John chapter 5, verse number 2 through 9, let's read. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm going down, another one steps in front of me before I get there." And Jesus said, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now, something to keep in mind, this was a Sabbath day. Now let's dig into the story, but first let's pray. Father, thank you for another beautiful day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for another chance to look at the life of Jesus to see if we can find something that we can apply in our own lives. Open our eyes, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I could just see Jesus doing this. He goes up to Jerusalem, the religious capital of the Jews, and all the religious leaders would be there because it's a Jewish festival. And it was a custom to going up and looking for people that were sick or hurting and somebody that he could change their life. So he walks up to this pool called the Pool of Bethesda. There's a lot of people that are sick are sitting around. And as legend would go, whenever an angel comes down and stirs up the water, that the first one that gets in will get healed. And Jesus goes up and picks one man out. And this man is pretty much hopeless. And Jesus changes his life. And then he walks away without saying a thing. Now, this is extraordinary. Most of the time when somebody does something wonderful for God, they make sure that there's people around where they can report it and tell other people and start talking about it, but not Jesus. Jesus heals the man and he just walks away. He didn't even tell the man his name. Oh, and one last thing. This is the Sabbath. And we do know that when people do significant things on the Sabbath, that it just doesn't go well. But Jesus saw a need and he met it anyway. When I read this story, it's always amazed me that Jesus picked one man out of the crowd of hurting people and healed them. Why did he do that? Well, since he's Jesus, the Son of God, he'd have his own reasons. But for whatever reason, he focused on one man and changed his life. There's another question that has hit me when reading this story. How does Jesus have all the insight into the people that he does? Again, the main answer is, he's Jesus, the Son of God. But I think there's another reason that I want to look at. As you might expect, Jesus makes all the religious boys upset. And they're fighting mad. So much so that they want to kill him, so they confront him. Let me read to you how Jesus responds. In verse number 17, Jesus responds, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father is working until now, and I'm working.'" Well, this didn't go down well. Jesus had just claimed that God, Almighty God the Father, was his Father. And to the Jews, that was sacrilege. And they got cranked up and went after him. And Jesus responded with something that we can learn from today. Verse 19, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." So let's look at that a little deeper. First, for Jesus, this is self-limiting. He says, "I can't do a thing, not a single thing, unless I first see the Father doing it. But when he shows me what to do, I do it immediately without question." Now let me ask you a question. Is it possible for a Christian who is following Jesus and has the Holy Spirit living within them, could possibly live this close to Jesus, to God, to where we could see what he's doing and hear him when he speaks? Well, I personally believe we can. But there are some things that you and I need to understand first. Let's go over to the Old Testament to look at the first thing. God speaking through Isaiah in Isaiah 55. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." Now, if I may bring these into our thoughts today. If God tells you and I to do something, it'll probably be outside, completely outside of our understanding and our capability. You and I will not even be able to do it with everything within us. We just won't be able to do it if God tells us to do something, if his ways are beyond ours. You know, probably we wouldn't even have thought of it if God hadn't showed us. Secondly, something to think about. Is there any need for God to even speak to us if he knows we're going to respond no? Well, think deeply about that. And there's another thing that I want you to see about God. Again, go with me over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. God says, "I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to craved images." God in no way will give his glory to an idol or to a person. You remember Jesus? Jesus healed the man and he walked away. Didn't even tell him his name. Would you do that? If not, is there any need for God even to speak to us? Now let me ask you a question again. Do you want God to speak to you? Do you want him to use you? Are you willing to give him the complete glory? Are you willing to jump into something you don't understand or you're not capable of doing? If so, you might be ready to hear from God. There might be some that's not willing to go all the way for what God wants us to do. If that's the case, let me make a recommendation. Why don't you work your way to the cross of Jesus and nail your excuses and your self-will onto his cross? Paul put it this way, Philippians chapter 3, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Now listen to this. He says, "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." You see, the Apostle Paul wanted the resurrection power of Jesus in his life, but he knew he had to go through the fellowship of his suffering to get there. And that's to sacrifice our self-will and our excuses on his cross. When we died to ourselves, then, and only then, God may be able to speak to us and use us in tremendous ways. Now let me ask you, do you really want to hear from God? Do you want him to use you? Now I think you know what to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the life of Jesus that challenges us and pushes us. Help us to be like Jesus, willing to move whenever you speak or show us what to do. But if we're not there yet, help us to take our excuses and our personal desires to the cross of Jesus and nail them there so we can get up and follow Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.